This is Rising Up with Sonali, and I'm your host, Sonali Kolhatkar. Our radio show is heard on Pacifica stations nationwide, and our TV show can be viewed on Free Speech TV and on our website. Just days after the United States Senate voted along strict party lines to undo the Obama-era guidelines on protecting internet privacy, the House followed suit on Tuesday. The votes, which came so swiftly that privacy advocacy organizations had barely any time to mobilize their supporters against it, will now enable internet service providers to sell your online browsing habits for profit. Donald Trump is expected to sign the measure into law, despite the huge public support that exists for preserving privacy. The vote was taken in such a way that it prevents the Federal Communications Commission, where the Obama-era guidelines were initially put into place, from reviving privacy protections in the future. My guest is Ernesto Falcone. He is the legislative counsel with the group Electronic Frontier Foundation. Welcome to the program, Ernesto.
Thank you for having me.
So first, let's talk about what the guidelines were to begin with. These, I understand, were guidelines that hadn't fully gone into effect, right? And that basically would have set a higher standards for ISPs to protect the privacy, the history, the browsing history, et cetera, of users?
So it's a little bit more than that. The rules of the SEC that were updated last year were actually based on communications law, privacy law that's existed for about 21 years. And the premise has always been that your personal information that you share with your communications provider, back then telephone, today broadband, that they are not allowed to use that information for personal gain without your permission, right? They have to explicitly ask for your consent. Now, these rules were, you know, kind of, you know, in a gray area of how they apply to broadband. And essentially what the FCC did was make it very clear that your browser information, your application usage, virtually all the activity you do on the internet that reveals who you are as a person is only accessible to the ISP through permission. This is your cable and telephone companies.
So basically, you had to opt in, right, to allow your history, your habits, your record to be used?
That's right.
And so now, this particular vote that the Senate took, I mentioned basically the Senate vote was exactly along party lines. The House vote, a few Republicans defected and voted against it, but the majority voted for it along with all the Democrats. What this now basically means is that ISPs can do what exactly with your records, with your activity online?
So what's going to happen now, if the president signs this into law, is cable and telephone companies are going to be given kind of a green light to engage in a business they've never been allowed to under the law, which is using their place in the market of kind of monitoring, tracking, collecting all the information you reveal when you go everywhere on the internet, and then repackaging those into profiles and handing those over to advertisers and any company would pay money for that type of knowledge. It's very valuable, which is why Comcast, Verizon, AT&T, and the others lobbied Congress to pass this repeal.
This is the kind of thing that, say, Google already does, right? If you use Google as your search engine, Google keeps track of your browsing history. And then if you look at a pair of shoes on an online store, that pair of shoes follows you on various websites because Google keeps popping up the ad for that pair of shoes. However, you can choose to use another search engine. But in the case of ISPs, it's not like you can just say, all right, AT&T is going to sell my browsing history, so I'm going to switch to another ISP, right? You don't have much choice of ISPs.
That's correct. In this country, a majority of Americans only have one choice when it comes to high-speed internet. The ramifications of this vote is the fact that individuals just don't really have the capacity to discipline companies in the way they would in other markets. You have multiple choices for email providers. You have multiple choices for search engines. You have multiple choices for social media. And you also have the choice not to use those if you don't feel like it. But you don't have a choice whether to not use your broadband connection if you want to have access to the internet at the end of the day. There's a fundamental difference. I just want to make a real clear point, because I think the proponents will argue, well, the internet's already sucking up all this information in the first place, and therefore we didn't really change anything. That's nonsense, because the ISP is an extraordinarily powerful market player, but the law is prohibited from doing these activities. And the reason that that's the case is because they see everything we do. Google can only see what you do so long as you're interacting with their service. And there's lots of plugins and technologies you can deploy to block Google, but you have to go on the through the gateway of the ISP in order to get to the internet in the first place.
Ernesto, Republican Congresswoman from California, Mary Bono, wrote an article in The Hill entitled "Why Congress Should Act Now on Internet Privacy." And it starts out almost sounding like it's a proponent of privacy. She's a proponent of privacy, but she basically says that the FCC rules that that were overturned it conflicted with well-established online privacy requirements already implemented by the FTC, the Federal Trade Commission, that these are far too confusing, that it's much better to bring everything in line and have one set of privacy requirements rather than two different sets of privacy requirements. She wrote it in a way that suggested she actually cared about the privacy of Americans. What do you make of this argument?
This is just clever lobbying on cable and telephone's part to get their friends to pretend they care about your privacy and kind of fill the words with nice flowery language. But when they say, you know, the FTC, the Federal Trade Commission, can protect consumers that the FCC can't, they're lying. And they're lying because the Ninth Circuit, particularly in California, which is ironic with the former congresswoman, the California courts have said the FTC does not have the power to regulate cable and telephone companies. And so when they make this like, you know, the left hand can protect you when the right hand can't, there is no left hand. There is no other entity out there on the federal side that is in charge of enforcing our legal rights to privacy when we go online. It is only the FCC for many states. And depending on how the courts rule on FTC's authority, it may be the entire nation.
And just a quick clarification, Mary Bono is a former congresswoman. She's now actually a lobbyist for telecom industry. It works for a group called the 21st Century Privacy Coalition, which is basically an industry association. Let's talk about how the industry has essentially bought and paid for the members of Congress, not just Republicans, but Democrats as well, although Democrats seem to have found a way to resist the money. How much money, what order of money are we talking about that this industry spends on lobbying Congress to do away with these regulations so they can basically sell every last shred of information on us?
So the cable and telephone industry, in terms of campaign contributions, I believe is the largest contributor of all industries in the country.
Wow.
They outpace banks, they outpace the financial sector generally, the insurance companies. It's because they're very tightly entwined with government regulation. They are regulated entities that need to do what they can to curry favor with the regulator. And you know, I think this is, you know, to distinguish, they do donate a lot of money to both parties. That's absolutely right. But on this vote, you know, there was partisan support and bipartisan opposition at the end of the day in the House, with 15 House Republicans joining the Democrats. This was just an egregious ask that I think Congress was foolish enough not to understand the ramifications of what they've done. And I hope voters out there go take the time to go to town halls in April to remind them who they work for.
So let's also now discuss what it is that ordinary people can do about the situation. There's been, there's been a lot of discussion on social media about, well, maybe we should all install proxy servers, VPNs on our computers to hide our browsing activity. Others say, well, VPNs are not going to work because your ISP still knows, your internet service provider still knows what you're looking at, where you're going. Is there anything that ordinary people can do to protect their privacy?
I think in the short term, I mean, a VPN is a strong defense. It's not a perfect defense, which is the problem. In an ironic sense of, you know, people having to pay extra money to secure their privacy, which used to be their legal right, is essentially people having to pay a privacy tax.
Right. A VPN costs money usually.
If you want a solid VPN, it's unlikely you're going to find one for free that gives you like the level of coverage you're hoping for. The challenge will be also just whether your VPN's in on it, right? If your VPN has some sort of contractual relationship with an ISP, this is where it gets very difficult because there's no legal restriction on them to engage in that, and it's worth a lot of money. And so I think people will turn to VPN. I think a vast majority of less sophisticated users of the internet don't really know how to make use of that technology, which is why it's really important to have legal rights in the end of the day.
And what do you make of how fast these votes were taken? I mean, I remember in the past when there have been attempts to undermine online privacy, when there's been battles over net neutrality, organizations like yours have been able to very successfully mobilize the public to lobby Congress, and it's been a bipartisan issue to protect privacy. The GOP moved with such swiftness that most Americans don't even know what happened and when it happened.
The reason this happened fast is because, and we're talking about 4 weeks' time, which is insanely fast for any sort of bill to make into law, is the Congressional Review Act is a procedure that's rarely invoked, but it essentially operates on an expedited schedule. It bypasses the Senate filibuster, bypasses committee hearings' ability to have hearings, consult with experts that will explain to Congress the ramifications of what they're doing. And denies other members of Congress the opportunity to amend a bill to, mollify or redirect the direction the legislation's going. It's really meant to be a shotgun approach that carries with it incredible ramifications that we're not going to know the full effect until the coming years.
And so the Congress of course, the Republicans also have a good friend to head the FCC, Ajit Pai, who was actually an Obama appointee, but now is the chair of the FCC and therefore carries a lot of power. He has basically, pledged to keep this in place and to not protect people's privacy, to basically be in line with letting ISPs do what they want with our history. This is very sad as well.
It certainly is. I think because he's forgotten the point of the chairmanship, which is, and the point of the FCC. The FCC is supposed to work for consumers. The FCC is the only kind of entity that has the sophistication, the engineers, the economists that monitor the activities of these network providers that are incredibly powerful and are supposed to act on behalf of the public interest. Without someone fighting the fight on our behalf, then people are left to their own devices. And we're subject to things like contract terms we've had to sign in order to get access in the first place. And for the most part, we are put on at a disadvantage.
Finally, Ernesto, there's been a creative response from the public to try to sort of take revenge on the lawmakers who voted for this bill. There's a crowdfunding campaign, searchinternethistory.com, that is trying to raise money to buy the internet history of leading Republicans and FCC members. I mean, surely if ISPs are allowed to sell this information, it should be available for any of us to buy. What do you make of this symbolic response, if you will?
I think it's good to raise awareness. I think it probably won't be directly successful. However, I do not think it's impossible. We just had an election where personal information was hacked and disclosed to the public to great political impact. It does not surprise me. It will not surprise me in the future that you have an aspiring politician, regardless of which party they belong in, and someone hacks their Comcast account or their AT&T account, and all that data, the company is now holding in its records, and gives that to the press, and essentially destroys the individual. It's so important as a free society that what we do online and how what we consume for information is kept secret and kept to ourselves, so that people feel free to explore anything they want. That's the whole purpose of an open society. When that freedom's curtailed and the risk now is raised for damage to be done, I think there will be a reawakening from elected officials to step back. We're not there yet. We barely lost this by 5 votes in the House and about 2 votes in the Senate. But I think the time will come, and EFF's in this for the long fight. We're going to be fighting this in the courts. we'll fight this with technology, and we'll fight this again in the legislature in the future.
Give out the website for EFF, Ernesto.
Yeah, we're at www.eff.org.
That stands for the Electronic Frontier Foundation. Thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you for having me.
My guest is Ernesto Falcón, the Legislative Counsel with the Electronic Frontier Foundation. I'm Sonali Kolhatkar. We're online at risingupwithsonali.com, where you can sign up for our daily newsletter. You can also find us on Facebook, Twitter, iTunes, and Vimeo.